seated in the presence of the Lord. We certainly thank God for you this morning. Again, 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30, beginning at verse number 3, verses 3 through 6. Love don't live here anymore. Love don't live here anymore. It is during the holiday seasons, which is upon us right now, that families come together. And when families come together, we sometimes anticipate lots of food, fun, great fellowship. But all too often, a fight starts.
My Lord.
Now, every holiday season brings about conflicts. So if you're not familiar with the conflict that went on in your house a few days ago, I want to tell you why. It is because you were the problem.
What you say?
So they waited for you to leave so they can talk about you.
All right.
That's why you didn't hear it.
All right.
Because it was about you.
Right.
Don't you just love it when the one that always starting something in the family is always the one to say, what's wrong? You're the problem. People have a tendency of forgetting what you've done for them. Someone wrote a song, and the song was, what have you done for me lately? I know what you did last year, but what have you done for me lately? You know, in dealing with people, if people are not always doing something for you,
all right,
your insecurities will make you think they no longer love you. But what I needed to do for you a year ago, I shouldn't have to do the same things today. See, one day you started, and when you started, you were on a bottle.
Uh-huh.
And so life has a way of maturing us, and so as life matures us, we should get to a point where we're able to eat meat.
Uh-huh.
We're able for family folks over the Thanksgiving table to just tell us the truth.
Yeah.
But when you begin to tell people the truth, then people think you got issues.
Yeah.
Because you're addressing their issues. And so whenever you see people that is going through something, and they begin to go through something, and they think they're always right, watch out. You got a problem. And every family has these types of issues. You remember on Wednesday night when everybody came together in your house and everybody was happy? And then on Thursday, when everybody began to cook and put things out, then Uncle Juba started drinking one beer, and one beer left with two beers, and then Aunt Gloria, and then Aunt Sue, and then they start gossiping again, and then all of a sudden, what's supposed to be a thankful time turned out to be a mess. Love don't live here anymore. The same people that you used to protect, watch over, support, are the very same people that would turn their back on you in a heartbeat. People somehow grab amnesia and they forget what you've done for them, because what you've done for them, it's been 2 weeks ago, and they need for you to do something else today. You ever had someone in your family, I'm not talking about just out in the world, somebody in your family got upset with you because you wouldn't give them your money? Have you ever had someone in your family, they got upset with you because you wouldn't agree with their foolishness? And so then they went and they started a lie about you because you were trying to do what is right. Sometimes doing what is right will leave you standing all alone. But God says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So man may walk out, but when man walk out, then God step in. I don't know about you, but I don't care about them walking out. Just don't let God lead me. Now if God lead me, I got a problem. Because if God lead me, my protection is gone. If God lead me, all of my safety is gone. If God lead me, all my healing is gone. But he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. People will turn on you in a heartbeat. David was a young man that was a king. He had fought for the people. He had watched over the people. He had done tons of things to ensure that everything that the people need, their welfare, was taken care of. One day, David decided that he was going to go out, take his troops out, and support another army. He was going to support them because he realized that everybody needs friends in this world. Yeah. And so David takes his army, he goes out, he's supporting this army, and then all of a sudden the king who is over this particular army looks down the columns, looks down the road, and he determined that David was right there. Now, David had been there, no problems, no issues, but let me show you what insecurity will do. The insecurity of the king made him put David out of the army because he thought that David would get more attention than him. There's some people, not in your army, but in your house. They are jealous of you because the anointing that is upon your life. And you wonder why they don't like you. You wonder how you can be brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles in the same house and still have foes in your house. It's because the anointing that is upon you causes Satan to always fight the anointing. David find himself just chilling, came to support the army. And here he is receiving his marching orders to go home. Isn't it bad when people would rather fail than to deal with you? See, somehow they think that dealing with you is a bad thing. And so people, when they begin to go through something, they like to pair up with somebody else. See, that's how you can tell when people are punks, when they can't do nothing by themselves. Have you ever seen a person, and every time you see that person, you see somebody else because they are punk? If you got something to say, say it by yourself. If you want to do something, do it by yourself. Why you got to call him? Why you got to get her involved? Just do what you want to do. If you're a man, if you're a woman. So they always involve somebody else. David find himself going through something. And as David begins to go through something, David is going through something not because he did something wrong, but because he was trying to help somebody else. And so here's David saying, hey, you know, we were fighting one time and your army came out to support us, and now we come and we're going to support you. But the king got these insecurities. He looks and he sees David and he says to someone else, isn't that David the one that they were singing that song that Saul killed 1,000 and David killed 10,000. See, you gotta watch people that is close to you, because every now and then they'll peek over at you, think they understand what's going on with you, but they just want your stuff. You have to be careful with people sometimes. Everybody that called to be your bosom buddy really ain't down with you like four flat ties. Mess around and need something and see how quick they'll bounce on you. Mess around and ask one of them for $10. Let alone a coat, and see how quick they'll leave you. See, in this thing called life, everybody around you really don't mean you any good. And so sometimes God will allow you to go through a storm so he can get rid of some people that he told you long time ago to get rid of. But you want to hang on to them. And God is saying, I'm going to make a move. I'm going to send you through hell and high water. I'm going to make a move. And so God begins to take you through something. And as God begins to take you through something. Understand, nobody can shield you from the hand of God. And so David says, okay, fine, I'll go back to my homeland. Y'all fight your own battles. David goes back to Ziklag. When David gets to Ziklag, a 3 days journey, what he discovered is that the entire city is now burned down. Now, fire in the Bible represents the presence of God. Now you got to keep this part throughout the rest of it. So when he walked back, he noticed the city had burned up. Now the city burned, and the burning or the fire represents the hand of God or the presence of God. You need to understand that sometimes when things get hot in your life, it's not because you did something bad. Sometimes when you go through something in life, it's not because you did something wrong. Because the truth of the matter is, you know you did something worse than what you got caught doing. See, what you caught me doing, that wasn't nothing in comparison to the stuff that I got away with. And so what I understand now is that God graced me through that foolishness, so he put just a little fire so he can purge me, purify me, move me away from here. And so David walks back to the city. When he gets back to the city is burned up. And it, not only is the city burned up, but the people that came to the city, they also placed in captivities all the children and all the women. And so now the city is burned, and every woman, every child is now placed into captivity. And so David looks around, and he discovers that all he has with him is the men that was a part of the army that went out. Watch this, point number one. Be careful when people begin to murmur at you. You always have complainers in life. I don't care what you do, they still gonna complain. I don't care how many times you have stepped in for their family, they still gonna complain. I don't care how great you are, they still gonna complain. But as long as they are complaining about you, it means that there's something about you that they like. Because people don't talk about nobody. So as long as they're talking about you, you need to know you're still in the game. If when they know that you're talking about you, then you need to wonder what's going on. So as long as you got people talking about you, as long as they're talking and they're saying something, you understand that God is moving you. You understand that they see the presence of God on your life. And so David walks back, and the people begin to complain. And now as they begin to complain, the Bible declares that the people then begin to just cry. And they just cried and cried and cried till they could not cry anymore, according to the Bible. Now watch this. You ever been going through something and people all of a sudden act like they're such good friends, and then they in a corner over here crying, "I'm gonna miss you, girl," crying, "I'm gonna miss you, dude," and you say, "But y'all didn't even like one another last week. Now y'all coming together trying to kill me. What's going on?" The people are now complaining. See, people will complain because they'll forget about your yesterday. See, yesterday when you were writing them a check, they loved you. Yesterday when you were sharing a bottle with them, they loved you. Act like you don't drink. Yesterday, come on. Everything on your table wasn't a turkey. Come on now. I went over with Rose House. I'm just kidding. People will complain. And the Bible declares they lifted up their voices. In other words, they begin to cry. And they're saying, "What are we going to do now? We don't have any, we don't have a city, and all of our wives is gone, our children is gone." And so people begin to murmur at David, and David is saying, "But I was with you, and the same thing that happened to you also happened to me." Have you ever been involved with somebody, and then you start crying, and you were going through something, and then they were acting like nothing never happened, and it made you wonder, who was I really in a relationship with? How can you do that and act like that don't bother you. But we've been down forever. And so now all of a sudden they distance themselves from you and you find yourself going through something alone. But as you begin to go through something alone, then that's when God shows up and God says, I got your back. Now, they may walk out, but I got your back. See, sometimes God has to remove these people so you can listen to him. Sometimes God has to remove your sugar daddy and sugar mama so you can rely on him. So you'll understand he'll supply all of your needs and most of your wants. See, that's why people don't get what you're going through. They still complain. So they begin to murmur against David. And they move from a place of complaining and murmuring, then they shift to mutiny. Now, mutiny is a naval term. Mutiny has to do with a ship that is out on the sea when the people rebel against the leader. Folk will always blame you for their stuff. But you weren't even there, and they still blame you. Well, if my mama would have been like this, then I wouldn't have got pregnant. No, you got pregnant because you laid down. If my daddy wouldn't have been like this, I wouldn't have been an alcoholic. No, you're an alcoholic because you bought the liquor and drank. If my cousin had never done crack, then I wouldn't have been. No, you did crack because you wanted to do crack. Oh, quick. People will shoot on you. Now, watch this. All of a sudden, the people are complaining, and now they want to kill David. And David is sitting there looking like me the more. See, the people lost not only their children, they also lost everything in the city, all of their property.
Yes.
Now, don't ask me why. I don't know why this is in the Bible, and it doesn't make sense to me. But the Bible declares that David lost two wives. See, that's why David was happy in this situation, because he lost two wives. I'm just kidding. David lost everything that he had. Not only did he lose everything he had, the Bible says, now David lost two wives. And so David is sitting there saying, I lost the same thing that you lost. Why are you crying and acting a fool and blaming me? Why are you want to kill me when I lost what you lost? See, sometimes when you're going through something with somebody else, you'll discover how deep they really was in what you were in. See, sometimes some people and some stuff can walk out of your life and somebody else act like that didn't even bother me. It makes you wonder, never mind. But doesn't it make you wonder, were you really in this with me? How long have I been in this thing by myself? If you can just walk away, if you can just walk out, if you can just allow me, if you can just scandalize my name, how long have you been thinking like that? I'm still talking about what happens in the house. And so David is going through something. And David says, I lost more than you lost. You see, when people lose something, they only see their side of the story. They have no compassion for your side. Sometimes in life, watch this, we can have more passion than compassion. We set off, we're going to fix this thing, we're going to get it right. That's passion. But at some point, your passion has to be met with compassion to say, hey, I lost too.
Yeah.
God delivered me from that.
Yeah.
I feel what you feel.
Yeah.
I've been through that.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, God will make a way out of no way. I lost it all. But let me tell you that God is a God of a second chance. I've been through something similar to that. But let me tell you, God is a restoring God. I've been down and out. And the doctor said I had cancer. But let me tell you that God said by his strength, we are healed. Let me tell you something. I've been a single parent and I know what that feels like. But let me tell you about God, your father that sits high and look low. He says, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I've been around folk that didn't like me. But at the same time, God says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. See, you've going through something, and what you're going through, your test is somebody else's testimony. You need to share it with somebody else. And David says, I lost more than you did. But deep down inside, the Bible declares in verse number 6, it says David encouraged himself. David encouraged himself. Now watch this, because you have to get this word encouragement. In the Greek, the word is paramutas. Paro means from, mutus means from within. So encouragement is when you reach down inside of yourself and you pull it out. I don't need you to hang around to see me through this, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know what you say, but I'm above what you say, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know the lie that you told, but I'm above that lie. I know what you tried to do, but I'm above that too. You see, God will take you to a place, and God is saying, everybody is gone. Now encourage yourself. Well, how can I encourage myself if I'm standing all alone? God is saying, because I'm right there. See, you got to get a praise down inside of you. You got to get a deep praise. In the midst of the darkness, you still got a song. In the midst of going through hell, I still got a word. In the midst of my loneliness, I still pray my way out of it. In the midst of my fear, I still got some sense of praise. In the midst of going through something, I know that God is going to deliver me. When unemployment rate is high, I know God still going to take care of me. You got to reach down inside and encourage yourself. You keep waiting on somebody else, giving them the right to make you happy. What happens one morning when I wake up and say, I don't want you to be happy today? So I begin to act a fool, and there you are, got a miserable day because I'm crazy. The devil is a lie. Not me. Magnanimity. Magnanimity. It is when you rise above the situations and circumstances. See, you can go through something. There's mutiny. People are murmuring. And people act like you haven't lost anything. But in fact, you've lost the most. See, you got to learn how to rise above that. See, turkeys and birds fly low. See, when the storms of life come, the eagles rise above the storm. See, you can fly so high and you break the clouds and you go past the storm, past the rain, past the haters, past the naysayers, past the doubters, and you all up there by yourself and everybody else saying, it's bad weather down here, but I'm not living down there. I'm not beyond, I'm not beneath. I'm living up here. This is what God told me. He told me I was an eagle. He told me I can fly up here. The problem that we have is we hang out with too many turkeys. Find yourself in clothes. Find yourself some new friends. Find yourself some friends where you're not the smartest one in the circle. Find you some friends that's going to challenge you. Find you some friends that's going to say the truth to you and tell you that dress is too short. Find you some friends that's going to tell you, you know that ain't right. Find you some friends that's going to encourage you in the Lord. And when everybody else walk out, I thank God I can encourage myself. I thank God I got a word for myself. I thank God I got a message for myself. They may walk out, but I'm still hanging on. I still believe. I still believe. You may say love don't live here anymore, but his love never fails. His love is stronger than the day before. His love never, it never fails. It never fails. He's always there. Whatever you need, just call upon him. That's the kind of God that we serve. We serve a God that says, I'll always be there. We serve a God that says, cast your cares upon me. We serve a God that says, I don't care what you I'm right there.
Yay.
So you find yourself going through something.
Thank you, Lord God.
And love don't live here anymore. We used to be tight.
Yes.
What happened? Love don't live here anymore. It makes you question what kind of love you really have. If it's erased love, passion. That love only lasts in the bed. It won't last. See, because when I met you, you were cute and fine. And then you got old. You had my baby. But I can't look beyond your weight. Even though you gave me a child.
What you say?
Something wrong with that picture. I know what you look like when we met.
Come on, man.
But look at what you've done for me. And now I'm stuck on something as shadow.
Superficial.
As weight.
Yeah.
Your heart hasn't changed. Your integrity hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Your character hasn't changed.
Yeah.
But I'm stuck on how much you weigh. If you stuck with somebody that is basing a relationship on how much you weigh, you need to bounce up out of there. That's Iraeus. That's bedroom love. And then maybe there's a Philios love. Philios, where we get the name Philadelphia. The brotherly love. It's conditional then.
What did you say?
I love you as long as you're doing something for me. So when you stop doing it, I can stop loving. See, that's the problem with sugar daddies and sugar mamas. When the sugar stops, it's a conditional thing. I say that because I'm talking to somebody. So while we laugh, I still want you to go home and work that thing out. Because you know where you are. And you know how you treat him and how she's treating you. So while we laugh, fix it. Feel your flow. See, we can laugh and still get a point.
That's right.
Amen.
And then there's agape love. Agape love is an unconditional love. I don't care what you do, I'm still going to love you. One day, Jesus stretched forth on an old rugged cross. And he says, I don't care what you do, I'm still going to love you. He says, I'll even give you some assurance. He says, I'm married to the backslider. So if you drifted away from God, he says, I'm still in a relationship with you, even though you may not be in a relationship with me. He says, I'll never leave you, even though you left me. He says, I'll take care of all your needs, even though you don't even speak of me anymore. He says, I'll promise that I'll give your children safety, even though you voted not to even mention me in your school anymore. But I still will look out for you. He says, I'll take care of your health, even though you put everything in your body contrary to what I said, because my love never fails. His love never fails. See, people will beat you up. You did this and you did that. And so as you begin to listen to what people say about you, open up your word and say, God, what do you have to say on this matter? Now, if you say I'm forgiven, I'm not concerned about them. I receive your word. If you say that, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I know I drifted away from you, but I'm coming home today. See, it's something about being in the presence of God. It's something about being in church when hell is going on out there, when I can make it in the ship called Zion. It's something about being here when you come together with other believers. It's something about somebody praying with you and praying for you. It's something about somebody Spirit and watch the yoke being broken. It's something about the blood of Jesus that he deserves. The praise for all and give him some praise this morning. He's worthy to be praised. If he's done anything for you, you ought to give him some praise. If he woke you up this morning, you ought to give him some praise. If he gave you grace and traveling grace here, you ought to give him some praise. The house didn't burn last night. I owe you a praise. Nobody broke in the house last night. I owe you a praise. My children are doing right. I owe you a praise. In spite of what I'm going through, I'm still here. Still got health and strength. I still got a chance. I owe you some praise. See, we owe him some praise. We owe him some praise. And he says, whatever it is that you're going through, he says, just come to me. Just come. He says, here I am to worship. Here I am to worship. I know you're going through something, but here I am to worship. I'm right here. We're going to have our kids to come back and the kids to start ministering to us that particular song, Here I Am to Worship. I want you to allow that song to go deep inside of you. Here I am, Lord, to worship. Are you available to God this morning? Are you available to God this morning? Are you available? Here I am. Here I am to worship.